2004 per the employment agreement between the City of Pismo Beach and Kevin Rice. Council also directed that the city manager's request for 80 hours of administrative leave annually be put on a future council agenda for council consideration. Okay. Now, the regular meeting of the Pismo Beach City Council will now come to order. It is Tuesday, April 5th at 4:30. And we are on time, are we not? Yes, we are. And I would like to open this meeting and just dedicate it to the memory of two people. One is Pope John II, who died on Saturday, and Tom Martin, a local leader, who passed away also on Saturday. And with that, we'll have roll call.
Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Yes, I'm here.
Councilmember Rabinowitz.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
Councilmember Natoli.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, and now it's time for Dr. Paul Jones and our invocation, and then would Shelley read the Pledge of Allegiance after, or lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Will you please stand and bow your heart with me? Our Heavenly Father, millions of your people, including many of our own citizens, have been stirred deeply in their innermost being after hearing last Saturday on worldwide television that Pope John Paul II had passed from this life to his eternal reward. John Paul, a son of Poland and later the Bishop of Rome, had joined forces during his lifetime with many distinguished men of God of past ages and deeply shaped history, promoting freedom and justice around our world. He had traveled to more than 120 countries during the 26 years of his papacy. He taught us that the strong are to fight for the weak. He further taught us that every human life is vital and important, each possessing its own dignity. And while some may be more prominent than others, no one is more important than anyone else. Believing with our President Ronald Reagan that international communism could be dismantled, he was one of the 20th century architects bringing about the destruction of communism in Eastern Europe, including his beloved homeland of Poland. As such, he has become a hero of the ages. And so we pray today that each of us may be challenged as a citizen and each guest in our city feel the impact of your irresistible presence. Today, may God be honored, and may each of us find benefit in all that is said and done. This invocation, we pray, in the name of our personal Savior and Lord, amen.
Amen. Would you please place your hand in your heart? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next item on our agenda is we have two presentations, and one is a proclamation declaring April as Month of the Child, and would the council read that, please? Yes, please.
Proclamation, April 2005, as Month of the Child. Whereas Saturday, April 9th, 2005, will commemorate the 27th annual Day of the Child, celebrating during Child's Day in San Luis Obispo Mission Plaza, a day where children and families interact with agencies and programs providing services throughout the county. And whereas the Week of the Child is a time to recognize that children's opportunities are our responsibilities, and to recommit ourselves to ensuring that each and every child experiences the type of early environment at home, at child care, at school, and in the community, and that will promote their early learning. And whereas in San Luis Obispo County, there is approximately 23,300 children under the age of 13 years who have working parents and need quality care, and
That would be you.
I don't have one. Sorry. Whereas in San Luis Obispo County, there are approximately 7,613 licensed child care spaces, and whereas quality child care is no longer a fringe benefit, but a necessity for working parents to be productive and happy employees. Local employers need to be champions in supporting the many challenges facing these working parents and families. And whereas quality youth programs are essential for older children during the out-of-school hours, whether or not their parents work outside of the home.
And whereas the City of Pismo Beach recognizes that every moment in a child's life is an opportunity for that child to learn, and that the early years determine whether a child succeeds in school and in life, and that all children need at least one caring and loving adult in their lives, and whereas the activities of this month will provide an opportunity to acknowledge quality youth and early care and education programs, their dedicated staff, and to applaud their efforts to improve the quality, availability, and accessibility of such programs. And whereas the San Luis Obispo Child Care Planning Council and the San Luis Obispo County Child Abuse Prevention Council work cooperatively to coordinate the events and activities of Children's Day in the plaza, the day and month of the child, and
whereas all citizens are encouraged to develop the assets in children and do what they can at work, at home, and within the community to help young people make positive choices to avoid high-risk behaviors. May we remember to listen to and watch the children around us, to have patience and allow them the opportunity to enjoy the journey of childhood. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach hereby proclaims April 2005 as the month of the child and April 9th, 2005 as the day of the child.
And that's dated the fourth day of April 2005. Mayor Mary Ann Reese. Would Mary Maloney from New Life Preschool and Susie Ilia, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, meet me at the podium. And we have many of those small children in our audience who are beautiful children, and I think this is a wonderful proclamation for us to present.
It is my pleasure to present this proclamation to you and to proclaim the month of April 2005 as the month of the child. Thank you very, very much.
I think it's an anthrax on the day. Jesus, it's a book.
Sure, you can do that. If you'd like to say anything now, it's the time.
On behalf of Happy Time Cooperative Preschool,
honored to accept the proclamation from the City Council on behalf of the San Luis Obispo Child Care Planning Council. Thank you for believing in our school to represent the community in the month of the young child. We believe these children are our future, and amongst them are our next police officers, athletes, teachers, pastors, city council members, etc.
Y'all can step back up here if you want to. Step back up here if you want.
Yeah.
Take
please
some
do.
Pictures of us.
Can you?
Oh, yeah. Just get behind us up here.
Where?
Here. Absolutely.
Hey, Gabriel.
Which one? The doctor? I mean, the nurse?
I didn't recognize them all dressed up.
Oh, on this side. Okay. Oh, God, she looks like Carol. Does? Yeah, right straight away. Oh, God, I think she looks like Carol, too. Oh, she's adorable. Yeah.
Here is the future of our community. As a school, we continue to strive for the utmost quality for our children. At New Life Preschool, we acknowledge the importance of a child's developmental years. We will continue to reach out to the community and represent God's love for the people in the five cities. At the present time, our program offers a quality preschool where 2 to 5-year-olds learn Christian values and social skills, as well as basic cognitive skills upon which they can build on in later education. Due to the lack of preschool programs in our area, we have a long waiting list of children and families needing quality preschool. At the present, our program is full through the next year, and our hope is that more preschools will arise so that our county's children will have access to quality preschool. Thank you, Pismo City Council, for all the hard work you do to keep our city safe and clean. We would like you to have these pins and ribbons and some special artwork we made to remember the children of our community. After all, they are our future.
Thank you. Thank you very much. They are very, very special. And thank you for your dedication. Oh, thank you for your dedication for our future children or our future adults. Look at this. Is this absolutely wonderful?
It's great.
Thank you so much.
That is great. Beautiful.
Very wonderful.
Yes.
Could somebody put it out front?
That's Randy.
Randy, could you put it out front? So could you do it?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Aren't they cute?
We were just asking for a moment more of your time because the children were wanting to know.
Please. Yes.
They were wanting to know actually who our members are of our council and who runs Pismo Beach. And they wanted to say a thank you.
Oh, thank you,
goodness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I love it. Thank you very much. We're very appreciative. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Hi, thank you very much.
Some alumni.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Mayor Mary Ann Reese. Nice to meet you. Hi, Jackson.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Dear Shelley's daughter, thank you for the Barbies. I can't wait to play with them after I write this letter. Your friend, Catherine. Thank you, Catherine.
All right, Catherine.
Oh, isn't that so beautiful? Sweet. Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda, I don't even know how we can move forward after that, but the next item on our agenda is public comment period. This is the time for the public to comment on any items. Oh, I'm sorry, we have one more presentation. Is Susan here? Thank you. There's a presentation from the Conference and Visitors Bureau of Fresno Bee's Best Speech Award. Hard act to follow, huh?
It's a very hard act to follow, especially since 2 of my children attended that preschool.
Did they really?
Yeah, and they're in their 30s, so it's been a great preschool for a long time, and definitely we all love children. It's my honor to say that this is our 3rd year to receive this award. It's the best of the Fresno Bee.
David Baumgarten, Los Osos, California. I know how to follow them.
You do.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. See, they're going to be opera singers, too.
Oh. Good.
Representing Plot, we have a television show that I want to remind people of. It's called Plotlines 2005, The Return to Pismo. It airs Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., Fridays at 5:30 p.m., and I hope you'll all watch it. I know we're on television right now.
Tell us that time again.
The times are 12:30 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon and Fridays at 5:30 p.m., and very soon we'll have another time slot. We do 2 new shows a month, and so they play twice a week, and our friend Bill Ravenel was instrumental in getting $200,000 for public access TV from the plate funds of San Luis Obispo, the city of, and we're going to buy lots of new equipment, and we'll be first-rate television. And I invite you all to watch, and I know my 3 minutes are up. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other members of the public that would like to speak to items that are not on the agenda or the consent agenda? Seeing none, then I'll come back to the council. Are there any council comments or requests?
I'd like to make a comment, please.
Okay.
I've had several calls in the past, about the last 2 weeks, since that new restaurant opened up on 4th Street. And it appears that the employees of that restaurant are all parking in the area down at Irish Way along Shamrock, and parking both sides here. And last night I counted 16 cars parked there. And the neighborhood is getting really uptight about that. And they said, if this is happening with the restaurant, what's going to happen when the hotel is completed here with all our employees parking on all of our streets? So they are really upset about it, and they'd like to have the city take a look at that. And some of the suggestions were made that the people that have employees should provide parking for their employees, or they should park on a main street somewhere, not inside of in a neighborhood such as that area. That's been such a controversial, that hotel has been such a controversial subject for our city. And they feel like, those people feel like they're getting slapped in the face now. So they'd like the city to take a look at that. All the employees from that sushi place, they're all parking in that neighborhood, and they just don't like it.
We'll take a look at that and get back to you, Councilmember Natoli.
I appreciate that. And I want to offer my personal condolences to the family of Tom Martin. Tom's been a very good friend to me and a lot of people in this town, and it's amazing how many people are going to miss Tom. So my deepest condolences go out to the family.
Thank you. Arlene, did you want?
You know, the only thing I had is the council received a report from Kristen Lyons, the recreation program supervisor. And I'm not going to read the full report, but on the annual Easter egg hunt, it was. I couldn't believe that we had... Last year, we had 250 children plus their parents, and this year, we had 525 plus their parents. What a great success. So thank, well, a lot of volunteers she mentions in here, but thank you all. It's wonderful. And I also wanted to pull item 4J from the consent agenda.
Okay. Shelley, did you have anything? No. Bill, did you have anything?
No, there's still a concern on Schaefer Lane with reference to the amount of signs up there, and I have driven it again, and I think that a one-way sign at the top and a one-way sign at the bottom would be sufficient, and I was just wondering if anybody else felt that way, because I think we need to address it, or somebody needs to address it.
I'm in agreement with you, Bill.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
I will comment on that, too. Mm-hmm. I traveled down there a couple of times. And I haven't gone since I got back from vacation to see, but I thought when I talked to the city manager that there were going to be some things that were going to be eliminated, and it doesn't appear that anything has. And then on top of it, what I heard is that now the post office has moved their individual mailboxes to one central location, which has upset the neighborhood because they can't park along there and drop off mail. So that kind of added... to the problem. Okay. We have no public hearings. And the next item on the agenda is business item 6A. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, what I'd like to do is introduce George Eads, who's going to tell us about item 6A and 6B, which is also related to it. George.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Madam Mayor, and Mr. City Manager. I'd like to speak from the podium, if I might, on this.
Be my guest.
Mm-hmm. This item 6A is a resolution of intention of the City Council of Pismo Beach to approve an amendment to the existing contract between the Board of Administration of the California Public Employees Retirement System, or PERS, and the City Council and the City of Pismo Beach. And the recommendation is that the City Council approve and adopt the attached resolution of intention. And I can go through this staff report and somewhat read it if you think that that would be good. In particular, I want to be sure that it's noted just what the changes are, and also the requirements of PERS include that there be full public disclosure of the estimated costs of these changes, which are included in the staff report, which is part of this agenda item, as well as the subsequent item on the ordinance. Is there a preference as to how this be presented?
Madam Mayor?
Summary, or would you like me to go through it in detail?
No, just give us a summary. I think that'll be enough.
Okay.
And then, Madam Mayor, I was wondering if maybe he could then place a copy of it, though, on the front counter, possibly.
Because a copy of on the front counter?
Just because of the disclosure
requirement
for a PERS.
You okay. Bet. Be well, happy to.
Is already.
Make a quick note of that. In quick summary, the current MOUs, or memorandum, MOU stands for Memorandum of Agreement. We have basically two, one between the city and the Police Officers Association, and another between the city and the Service Employees International Union. The first one for the Police Officers Association represents people in the police department, primarily the sworn officers, and also their non-sworn officers. And the SEIU represents what are called in the PERS system the miscellaneous employees or general employees of the city. These two, the current MOUs, which expire at the end of June this year, in April, May, 3 months, were signed by the parties, negotiated in 2001, signed by the parties in August of 2001. And the primary purpose of this agenda item is to take the next step towards implementing components of those agreements. In particular, with the SEIU, I've got it in order of the police, so I'll go with that one first. With the POA, there was a call for the retirement formula to be changed from the current 2% at 50 to 3% at 50 for the retirement system. And in that change, it was provided that 8% tax deferred of the cost of that change would be shall be paid by the represented covered employees, i.e. the sworn officers. It also, in the POA agreement, also provided that in the POA agreement, for the miscellaneous employees in the police department represented by the POA, that their salary and their single highest year would be used as the basis for their retirement benefits. In the agreement with the SEIU, it provided for that similar one-year final compensation for the people covered by that agreement. And in both cases, we're going to the one-year final compensation instead of the three-year average, that the employees agreed to cover to pay for the cost of that, which is estimated by the PERS actuaries at about 1.3% of their salaries. The cost of the benefits provided by the on the 3% at 50 benefits for the police, they created an accrued liability of just over $1 million.
Okay, seeing none, I'll come back to the council and entertain a motion.
Madam Mayor, I'd move to approve a resolution of intent with the PERS organization.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor.
2 seconds.
All those in favor?
See.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, George.
Okay. Okay, the next item is 6B, and it is related to this item also. It's an ordinance.
Madam Mayor, the next item, 6B, is very closely related. It's an ordinance authorizing an amendment to the contract between our city and PERS. I'd like to ask George to briefly introduce this, too, please.
Thank you. Covering this one even more quickly, this simply is the next step in the implementation. The council's approving the first reading of the ordinance by requirements of PERS. The second reading, if you approve this one, would be scheduled at least 20 days later and would be scheduled for May 3rd. And basically, the information in the agenda item is the same as it was for the resolution.
Okay. Are there any questions from the council? Seeing none, I'll go to the public. Is there any comments at all from the public on item 6B? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion from the council.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think you sprung ahead here, Lori.
Oh, I didn't. Well, we'll be out of here early then.
We'll be out of here an hour earlier.
No, very good.
Okay, at this point in time, I'm going to adjourn the regular council meeting, and we will reconvene as the Public Financing Authority for a short meeting, and then we will come back to the council meeting. So this meeting is adjourned. And the Public Financing Authority will now come to order. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6C is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Pismo Beach Public Financing Authority, which that Board of Directors are you all by city ordinance, electing officers for the Public Financing Authority. George, would you like to say anything about the Public Financing Authority and the history here?
Just very briefly, the Public Financing Authority was created back in the early 90s by a joint exercise powers agreement between the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency, and has been operating since I believe 1992. The rules and regulations of the authority call for an annual meeting on the first Tuesday in April of each year, and at that time for the council to elect officers, in particular the chairperson, vice chair, and the secretary and other officers as the council or the board of directors so wishes. And so the resolution is there for your consideration to approve a slate of officers.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that Mary Ann Reese, Chair, Arlene Gonzalez, G, Vice Chair, Shelley Higginbotham, Secretary. Second.
Is that passing the buck?
Well, I didn't want it to get over here. I mean, unless you want to do it that way. I mean, if you'd rather do it.
Well, let's see. What do we have in our packet? I think it was kind of prearranged. I think this, that the city clerk normally serves as the secretary to the board.
So I'd like to amend my motion.
Okay.
Reese, Gonzalez, G, and Grigsby.
I second it.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second? You've got it. We've got a motion and a second. City Attorney. Oh, all right. We have a motion on the floor, but we'll go to the public. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I come back to the council. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none.
Madam Mayor, the resolution also included three other appointments on the second page of the resolution. which were the legal advisor, the executive director, and the deputy secretary.
Okay, the executive director would be Kevin Rice, the legal advisor would be David Fleischman, and the deputy secretary would be Mandy Dawson. So that, would you change your motion accordingly?
I did. Okay, to conform.
Do you have any comment on this item? This item is 6D. Seeing none, I'll come back to the council.
I'd like to move that we accept that resolution as stated by Mr. Rice.
Okay, thank you.
I second it.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. The meeting of the Public Financing Authority is now adjourned, and the Pismo Beach City Council is now convened. Okay, item 6E, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6E is actually has two components to it. First is a resolution of the City Council's intent to adopt an ordinance, and the second is an urgency ordinance. Our city attorney has written a staff report, and I think he's done a super job, so I'd like to ask him to introduce what we're considering tonight.
Okay, Leishman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rice. As many of you are aware, the Compassionate Use Act of 1996 legalizes within California the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. However, the use of marijuana is still illegal under federal law. What has started happening in various areas of California is that marijuana dispensaries have been set up. In other words, places where people who have a doctor's prescription for marijuana can go and obtain marijuana. The dispensaries generally are operated in connection with some type of care provider for the person seeking the marijuana, and also a grower, presumably. Sometimes it's grown on the premises, sometimes it's not, and therefore transported to the dispensary. As a result, these have been somewhat of a hotbed of controversy because still under federal law, the actions of distributing and selling marijuana is illegal, at least at the current time. As I said in the staff report, there is a case at the U.S. Supreme Court that will answer a little bit more definitively the issue with respect to California's Compassionate Use Act. I can give a little bit more detail on that case, but we're expecting an opinion sometime before June at the end of the Supreme Court's current term. The Ninth Circuit essentially upheld California's Compassionate Use Act, notwithstanding federal law, saying that the federal law did not apply to the particular uses. But the Supreme Court's granted review, and the Ninth Circuit has suffered about a 92% reversal rate, so I don't hold out much hope for that decision being upheld at the Supreme Court. I think the Supreme Court granted review specifically to overturn that. That's a long way of getting around to where we are right now. Because these dispensaries have popped up in other communities throughout the state, many of them have opened up without any kind of regulation at all as to location, timing, and so on. What some cities have done, therefore, is they've adopted ordinances regulating the hours, the locations that they can be located, and so on. Other cities, like the city of Rockland, have just done an outright moratorium based on federal law, recognizing the supremacy of federal law. And that's what we're recommending here as well, is that we take the approach of recognizing the supremacy of federal law and just prohibiting them as a use anywhere within the city. Under our zoning code, we do have to initiate this process by adopting a resolution of intent to adopt an ordinance and then send it to the Planning Commission for their comments. The Planning Commission then has to hold some hearings and send back a report to you within a specified period of time on the final ordinance. In the meantime, while that process is going on, we're recommending that the Council adopt an urgency ordinance to prohibit the opening of any dispensaries at all during this study period when the final ordinance can be adopted. As with any urgency ordinance, they're of limited time and duration, and the necessary findings are set forth in the ordinance itself that you would need to find. It needs to be adopted by 4/5 majority to go into effect. The urgency ordinance, presumably, we'll be bringing it back to you within the 45-day time period that those things last for an extension, because I don't think we're going to be able to get it through the Planning Commission process and the City Council and Coastal Commission for the Coastal Zone process. So at that time, we'll bring back the urgency ordinance for an extension along with a report as to where the Planning Commission is. I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Okay, does any of the council have any questions or comments at this point?
I have none, Madam Mayor.
Seeing none, I'll open it to the public, and I have one slip, Mary Lee Hyman.
Mary Lee Hyman at Shoreline Drive, Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor and members of the council, the issue today is related to the belief that today's drug prohibition is the repeat of the alcohol prohibition that created the mafia crime lords and turned a whole generation of ordinary law-abiding citizens into criminals. It's related, but not the same. We're talking about the reasonable. We wait a little bit for that decision. There's a second issue in the report, that there are problems in cities who do have dispensaries. The problems aren't enumerated. The problems do stem from the fact that there are no regulations. If that's the case, isn't it reasonable to study what can work and adopt those regulations? I don't understand the recommendation or the attitude that it's too much trouble to implement the law, or it's easier to ban dispensaries altogether, or equally as sad, to over-regulate it to death, so practically speaking, it's not possible to establish a dispensary. But I really see this issue as a compassion issue, not Fed versus state or troublesome regulations. Is it too much trouble to follow California law and show compassion to a seriously sick and dying person? I haven't seen in the past that Pismo has shrunk from trouble. And I'm sure you have experienced suffering, so you know that when you're hurting, you don't have the energy to fight, certainly not show up here and talk to you. So who will speak up? No one wants to speak out and be on the wrong side of a politically sensitive issue either, especially if you have something to lose. Again, who will speak up for these folks? Do you have the compassion? At the very least here today, let planning look at zoning regulations, spend a little time studying this, at least wait to see what law applies here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of Council, Tony Spinelli. Mary Lee couldn't have said it better. I would just like to bring up that, you know, there's such a rush to judgment in these cities that are kind of jumping on this bandwagon, that I think that, as Mary Lee had said, that let's let the feds make the decision first, and we the people have spoken in this state of California. My uncle died of cancer. And during that course of time, he had, and this is within the last year, they had him on a morphine drip system. Now, morphine is a lot more addictive than marijuana can be. But my point is that here we sit and we have people that are in severe pain, and we're trying to dictate what they can and cannot do to relieve that pain. And it's proven medically that medical marijuana is taking care of that issue. In light of that, I think that we need to step up to the plate and see what the feds are going to regulate us. We, the people, have spoken. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council. Is there any council comments regarding this item?
I have.
Or as a result of your public input?
Yeah, I have a couple. Number one, you know, what I would like to see then is this county bring this before the Board of Supervisors and see if there isn't an area in San Luis Obispo County where it might work for disbursement of this, maybe with the Economic Opportunity Commission, maybe something like that to make it work. Because I kind of have the same feeling on this as I do with the pornography issue. I don't like pornography. I don't want pornography in Pismo Beach. But, you know, it's kind of like one pornography shop ought to be able to serve a whole lot of cities. You don't need one in Pismo and Grover and Arroyo Grande and da-da-da, whatever. The same thing I think holds true with this as well. And maybe by law there should be the opportunity for this medical marijuana to be had, and I'm certain that there is a need out there. But does every city have to, in fact, go through this again now and ban it or whatever? I would like to take the recommendation of the city manager city attorney and actually enact this urgency ordinance and put this resolution into place. But I wouldn't want to stop it here. I would like to then move it forward to the County Board of Supervisors and actually ask them for a regional location, a regional dispensary. Unless somebody can show me that there are 15, 20,000 people in South County that would avail themselves of this, and I don't believe that to be true. So those are kind of my comments.
I just wanted to say, Madam Mayor, that I have the greatest compassion for people with pain. However, the city attorney said this was...
those wishing to exercise it, and I don't think that was necessarily made clear by my staff report.
Okay, thank you.
It does say dispensary. Yeah, I think it was clear.
Well, I saw some merit in what Bill was saying in a way because, you know, it's not necessary to have a dispensary in every city. So there may be something countywide we can talk about at some point in the future. At this point, it is, you know, the federal law says it is prohibited. I think we do need to have something in place, and I would be in favor of going with the recommendation. And as the city attorney said, certainly at the public hearing level before the Planning Commission, if there may be some input that the Planning Commission can bring back to us. So the only comment I have.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we adopt a... resolution indicating the City Council's intent to adopt an ordinance modifying the city zoning code to prohibit the establishment of medical marijuana dispensaries in any zone of the city and to implement an urgency ordinance to prohibit such uses during consideration of permanent ordinance. Unless you want them separate.
No, I was going to point out that the findings that are set forth in the ordinance are explicitly found to be the case by the council. In other words, there's necessary for the immediate life, safety, and health of the community. That needs to be made explicit, though, even though it's in the ordinance itself.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, the next item we have on the agenda is City Manager's Report. That's number 10.
Oh, okay. Madam Mayor and Council, I have nothing to report tonight. Thank you.
Okay, City Attorney's Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to report that the wildflowers in Death Valley are everything they're reputed to be.
Really?
Wow.
I spent my spring break out in Death Valley after spending a few nights in Las Vegas, and everything you've been reading about it is absolutely true. Never thought I'd see a five-mile-wide lake in Death Valley, but it's there.
Wow. Okay, thank you very much. Are there any council subcommittee reports?
I have none, Madam Mayor.
You do? Okay. Shelley?
Let's see. I'm on the board of EOC, and there are a couple events coming up. I'd like to let the public know. There's going to be a reception and resource fair for the homeless services on Wednesday, April 13th from 2 to 4 o'clock at the City County Library in San Luis Obispo. And this gives everybody in the county an opportunity to learn more about the services available to the homeless, and I think it'd be important to share this information. I was able to go on a facilities tour with EOC, and our last stop was at the Maxine Lewis Shelter, and it was moving.
Very.
And it's a shelter that gets that provides incredible services with few resources, and as a community, we could do a lot more. And I think it would be nice to know that you could drop off toothbrushes and hygiene items, and all of that makes a huge difference. So I would encourage the public to get involved, or contact me, and I'd be happy to give you some ideas. So there's that. And I also wanted to let the seniors know that every other month, the second Thursday of the month, they do free health screenings. And I believe the address is at 140 South Dolliver.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in March, and then April they choose other sites, and then they'll be coming back to Pismo in May, and I'll let you know the date when it gets closer. But it's a really good service for seniors if you can take advantage of that. And then CVB, there is a weather cam that's been installed. I'm not sure I reported on that last time. So that's on the website right now, so you can tune right in and see what the weather is at any given point. And I think that's all I have. I'll just check. Excuse me one second. That's it. Thank you.
Does anybody else have any reports?
I serve on the board of directors of the Economic Vitality Corporation. We did not have a quorum at our last meeting, so we did not do any business.
Wow.
And there is no Zone 3 advisory meeting, and Arlene Gonzalez G and I have a SIG meeting tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock? Mm-hmm. And I understand you've invited the Shell Beach Business for that, Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
I pulled for J, Madam Mayor. I felt like it was almost tucked into the consent agenda because I was so excited about this, the Cypress Bridge and Addy Street Promenade. So I was hoping that our constituents could hear a little more about it from the city manager.
I think that was a good idea. Thank you for pulling that.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I think it is a wonderful project, and Dennis Delzite has actually done a lot of the work on the project to bring it to where it is right now, and we're getting ready to try and finish it up in the next 2 months. So I'd like to ask Dennis, our public works director and chief engineer of the city here, to tell us what's going to go on with this consent agenda item.
Okay. Okay, Dennis, I understand you did the design work on this, did you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. And also, Randy, one of the people in his department are going to do the inspection on the bridge. That's our building inspector, Don Moore. Uh-huh. And Brian Duncan and Jamie Light from the engineering department are going to do the public works inspection on Addy Street. So you'll see minimal consultants on this project, almost none.
Wow, that's wonderful.
The scope of work includes the redecking, rehabilitation, basically, of the Cypress Street Bridge. It was shut down a few years ago. Some of the decking boards were rotting. It has been open to pedestrian use for this length of time. What we're proposing to do is remove all the decking and the railing off the bridge and replace it with new timber. And when that's completed, we will be able to open the bridge to vehicular traffic again, one way out. The bridge is fairly narrow. It's only 20 feet wide, so we'll have a 14-foot vehicle lane and 6 feet for pedestrians. And they'll be separated by a wooden curb on the bridge. And also it will include building out Addy Street. As you know, one side of Addy Street is unimproved, except for the portion in front of the condominium development there. We will be putting in curbs, gutters, and sidewalks. And we'll put temporary asphalt curb and gutter and sidewalk in front of the King property where the pole house is located, because we know someday in the future that will be widened, and at that time the developer will remove the asphalt curb, gutter, and sidewalk and replace it with permanent concrete. And along the frontage between the bridge and the condominium complex, we have two properties, and we are proposing to put in concrete curb, gutter, and sidewalk at that location, and we will narrow it by 1 foot to avoid encroaching onto the private property of one of the property owners there who has objected to any encroachment by the city. So we're enthused about the project. The contractor has 60 working days, which is about 3 months to get the project completed. We've been talking with him, letting him know that if it, at all possible, we'd like to have it have the bridge open by July 4th. It's a little too early for him to make that commitment at this time. The ordering of the lumber is the critical lead time. The type of lumber that that use on bridge decking is not the normal off-the-shelf item. So when he can give us his delivery time on that, then we'll be able to give you a progress report on what the expected opening of the bridge date would be.
Okay. Right now, we've continued to have pedestrian traffic, but we had to eliminate vehicular traffic. When did that happen? When was the last time? I know we opened it up for a short period of time and determined it wasn't safe.
I believe it was around 1995, late 95, perhaps early 96.
When we opened it up for just a short period of time.
A short period of time.
But prior to that, it had been closed for a long time. No?
That was before my time, and I'm not sure how long it was closed before I arrived. That was in 95. But
and also, I wanted everyone to know that when this was, I think there was some question if once it was open, if we wouldn't have a pedestrian walkway. And yes, you addressed that there would be a 6-foot walkway for pedestrians. So.
Yes. Okay. And one of the bright spots on the project also is that we have a sizable grant from the California Coastal Conservancy. So about 75% of the money is grant money from the Coastal Conservancy, which is approximately $132,000 is grant money. So in a lot of ways, this is a good project for the city.
It is. It's exciting.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
With that, I'll entertain a motion.
I move for approval of...
Madam Mayor, public comment.
Property. And nobody's listening. You know, I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to sue you, but doggone it, what else can I do? The only thing that's going to happen is that you're going to go ahead and do your thing, and the hell with the property owners. That's what's happening right now. And I'll tell you precisely what happened. And I have a document that's been authenticated as to what occurred when we had the 1969 floods. That bridge disappeared. In the process of relocating that bridge, the then mayor and fire chief were the only real authorities that made things happen at that time so as to get the city going. And at that time, a decision was made by Mayor Joe Rose to, in fact, move the present location of the bridge from where it was to be on my property. Okay, and all of that, I have photos, I have everything to show it. Unfortunately, staff was not willing to listen to what I was saying. And anyhow, what happened was... that the entire bridge is relocated on my a good portion of the bridge is relocated on my property. There's two sewer lines that are relocated on my property, and there are some high power lines that are also crossing overhead on my property. Now, I don't object to the boardwalk. I think that's a fantastic thing that's going to be happening. But what I object to is of simply being totally disregarded. You know, we have certain things as property rights in this country, and they're being ignored. Now, staff, you know, I know staff members. They're friends of mine. But, you know, this is an issue that is completely separate from friendship. This is an issue that's a real issue that really interferes with me. Now, I purchased that property, a little over 40 years ago. And I was never able to put anything together on it because, frankly, I did not have the money on it to do anything with it. Well, now I have the opportunity to do something with it. But I can't because you, in fact, have encroached on my land.
problem. I think you have a problem, too. Because you're ready to give a permit on doing work on property for which you do not own. So I want you to really think about this before you put out this contract. I would like to have an opportunity to have a discussion with staff, with your city attorney, so as to understand where we stand here. I am not going to let you work on my property without my permission to begin with. Plus, I also have a concept as to how to develop that property. And so we have a problem. Anyhow, that's really where it is right now.
Okay, two questions. One is, you said you bought this 40 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then in 1969, when it changed?
What changed?
It moved. The bridge move was moved in
1969 when the floods took place. The mayor, and I'll tell you why the mayor had actually the bridge relocated, was because it gave the opportunity for the Lions Club to have parking spaces right next to their building. And that was the reason for the bridge being moved onto my property. And if you go over there and take a look at the bridge, you will see where the existing pylons still are. And they are way over there, a good 10 feet away from where the bridge was relocated. You know, where do we stand? Am I supposed to just allow the city to simply take advantage of me? I can't do that.
Okay, but you didn't bring this up in 1969?
Well, in 69, first of all, well, you know, when you have a catastrophe of this type, nobody really knows what's happening. Hand instructions were given by the mayor and the fire chief at that time. And I have an affidavit by the fire chief stating that, exactly what took place. Because I know that eventually this was going to take place here, that I was going to simply be ignored, and assuming that I wasn't going to do anything about the issue. But I know better than that. I know my real estate laws. I know my rights, too. Because it's not worth it. I know better not to do that.
Well, my feeling is that there is enough possibility that there could be litigation that we probably need to go to closed session to discuss this and probably delay our decision on this item at the moment. The one other comment I have is that, you know, this is something that exists. We're just trying to improve it, but I think we need to have discussions closed session.
Madam Mayor, I think there was some urgency in terms of the construction timeline,
right,
to get this done before July, if I'm not mistaken. Mr. Delzai can probably give a little bit more information on that. I will say that if we were to go into closed session, I have not examined everything on this, and I wouldn't be able to give you a definitive opinion one way or another even tonight. If you are inclined to delay this, I can certainly take a look at this issue. But this is something that the council considered when the grant application was provided, when it was when the council gave authorization to get the grant. So this issue has been raised before. Whether or not it's been fully resolved in the council's mind, obviously you can answer that question, but I'll be happy to do whatever the council would like to do on this.
Marianne, may I ask Dennis one question?
Sure.
Why can't we just move the bridge and put it back on the old pilings and give them the space back?
Well, I'd like to give the council some history on this project. It was originally part of the Promenade 3 project that was recently completed, the Grover Pismo Promenade, and it was funded partially under federal grants and a number of other grant sources. One of the requirements was to certify that the right of way has been obtained, and prior to going out for construction bids, which was done. The right-of-way department for Caltrans, who is the administering agency for the grant, carefully evaluated all this information. The information that Joe Crescioni has informed the council of was all considered. Documents and history and letters from Joe Crescioni were provided to the right-of-way department of Caltrans. And also a similar discussion as to what occurred just now occurred before a previous group of Pismo City Council members, and they did go into closed session with the previous city attorney and considered all of this information. And the result was to proceed with the project. Caltrans right-of-way staff did certify the did make the certification that's required under the federal grant, which certifies that all of the right-of-way necessary to construct the project is in the public's hands. So I wanted the council to be aware of that information because it's pertinent to the issue. Relative to moving the bridge over, there are structural support members underneath the decking. It's not just the decking, which is the part you walk on, but there are substructural elements that would also have to be removed and relocated, which would considerably change the work scope. It would increase the work scope on this project. As to timing, the Coastal Conservancy has indicated a high sense of urgency to complete the project, although on this particular project, I believe the deadline is actually the end of this calendar year, which would be December 31st. So although everybody's anxious, the deadline is, we've got several months to go. So I wanted the council to be aware of this information.
Okay, I'm going
to
bring
this item
back to the council again for discussion. Is there anybody else in the public that would like to speak to this item? And then I'm going to close the public portion of this.
Well, there's someone coming.
No.
God, I had my bubble just burst. 7 years I've been standing at this podium during budget sessions asking and pleading to open that bridge. 7 years I've preached the same old sermon, and here we go. We got to that point, but we couldn't cross the creek. You know, with all due respect to Joe, and I totally understand where Joe's coming from as far as property rights and so forth. The way I see it is that we have an existing structure. All we're trying to do is modify it. I think what's going to happen here, it's just going to be a civil action taken care of 3-5 years down the road if it goes into the courts. He's been trying to get this resolved for some time now. But I say that the traffic is still waiting, you know. And the main reason why I was pleading during the last 7 or 8 years was the fact that it's an arterial route out of the downtown, and it's very desperately needed. So let's put this all in context. All we're doing is we're just improving what we have there.
Information that he provided, reviewed all of the historical and record maps and documents, and provided a written certification that the city has the right-of-way that's necessary to construct the project as proposed.
But, you know, I've known Joe for many years, and I know his demeanor. And he's not up here trying to get something for nothing. He honestly has a belief in his heart that he owns that property and that we are encroaching upon that. And I'm concerned about that, mostly from a government standpoint and a government taking without authority. And I don't know if we're there, but Joe certainly seems to think that we are. So I don't know what to do with it.
Well, I have a question.
I honestly don't.
Of Mr. Delzite. The existing bridge, is that going to be widened so that it will, in fact, because in the staff report it says widening to the adjacent Crescioni property. So where it is now, it's not on Mr. Crescioni's property. Is it going to be widened and go on to Mr. Crescioni's property, or is it going to stay basically the same, or is it going to be widened more to the other side?
Well, we have a sidewalk that's proposed along the Batty Street frontage of his property, and I don't think that's what Joe Crescioni's addressing.
I'm speaking of the bridge.
Yeah, right. The bridge issue involves a small triangular shaped section, a sliver on the side of the bridge that historically overlies a portion of his property.
Explain over lies.
Explain
it's on it.
It's a bridge.
Yeah. But it's you're talking it. About the bridge.
Right.
Goes over it, but there's not a portion of the under part that's on the property. That's what I'm asking.
So the back to my question, it's Sorry. Going to be widened somewhat.
No.
It's
no,
not.
The bridge
well, then,
is not
then we're
be widened.
Doing exactly what then it's existing now. So we are then we have the problem if we open that road or not. If it's existing now, Mr. Crescione feels that it's on his property. It's existing now.
Yes. That's correct.
I mean, I think if we open it and move forward with it, I think the issue is still there for Mr. Crescione. If we don't move forward with this and we lose out on the grant and we lose out on having, as Mr. Spinelli said, moving that traffic out on 4th of July and all the rest of the summer months, it's not going to change how Mr. Crescione feels. I mean, I think we still have to deal with Mr. Crescione. So with that said, I would move for approval of item 4J.
Is there a second?
I think you've already done that, haven't
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
No.
Oh, okay.
Is there a second? I'll second it. So motion and second.
I got it.
Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Is there any discussion?
Or discussion.
Mayor Pro...
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Mayor,
we're going to ask discussion first. Sorry, discussion.
What I want to ask is, would it be fruitful to invite Mr. Crescione in and have a discussion with Mr. Crescione as quickly as possible and see what kind of resolve we can get out of this? I'd hate to see that, you know, I'm real high on the property rights, too.
I can make that a part of my motion.
But I don't want this project to die because of that. So I think that it would behoove us to have Mr. Crescione come in and have some discussion with staff and whoever's in the city attorney, and let's see if we can resolve this thing.
Okay. And I can make that a part
possible.
Of my motion.
The motion maker indicated that she would make that part of her motion, and
I would
agree as the second. Is there any other comment before we move on, though?
Well, I mean, there's time frames to be taken a look at.
Well,
you
then
know,
that's...
And I don't know that this is... is this motion contingent upon a successful negotiation with Mr. Crescione, or is it just that you're making this motion and it's going to happen regardless, and you hope that something good comes out of the discussion with Joe? That's all I want to know. I mean, makes no sense the way it's been.
My purpose for this is to have an amicable decision made. I don't like to have enemies. Okay. And I think that we owe that to Mr. Crescione. So.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of enemies. I think it's just
no,
a matter of having different opinions. And
Madam Mayor and Council, could I ask the city attorney to comment on the right-of-way issue that Caltrans certified?
Well, my understanding, and I think this was Kevin's first meeting with the city, when we were discussing the grant application, there was a discussion of the Caltrans certification of the opening of the right-of-way approval from a judge on this. But we have gone through the process. It has been discussed at length. Mr. Crescione had the opportunity at the council meeting where this was discussed, notwithstanding the fact he was the mayor at the time. He got up and spoke on it, is my recollection. And the issue has been considered by Caltrans. So we can certainly, at the staff level, speak with Mr. Crescione about this. But if the council intends to hold on to the grant and get construction underway for the 4th of July, there is some urgency in acting at this point in approving the contract. If the council doesn't want to do that and delay construction, obviously you run the risk of losing the grant if there are time limitations placed on it. And that work may never happen because of the funding, or it may happen later in the future. And the issue is still there with Mr. Crescione, as it has been since 1969. It's really the width of the bridge. It's not the fact that construction is going on. So I think the issue will be there before and after, regardless of what the council does on this issue. So the policy call becomes yours as to whether or not you want to move forward with the construction to get the road open for 4th of July.
Well, it appears that the issue here is if they're asking us if we want to vote to open the bridge. And I think that has nothing to do with if it is, in fact, on Mr. Crescione's property. Even if we decided not to go forward with this tonight, so Mr. Crescione would meet with staff and continue to disagree. Staff will disagree with Mr. Crescione. So where is it all going to end up? So the bridge is never going to be open, or are we eventually going to go into litigation anyway? So what does the rest of the council feel?
I'd like to call for the question.
The question's been called. We need to vote on calling the question.
There was a first from Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G and a second from
Mary Ann Reese.
From Mary me, Ann, but are we supposed to vote on calling the question?
Yeah, first? There's no further debate. Once a council member has called for the question, you go ahead and vote on.
Go ahead and vote on it. Yeah. Okay.
On calling for the question.
Right, understood.
Yep. Has to be 4/5.
That's what I just asked the city attorney, and the city attorney said if there was no further discussion, we could go ahead and...
No, what I was saying is if we're going with Robert's rules, the matter has been called for question.
Yes.
You don't debate that.
Right.
You go ahead and determine whether or not there is going to be further discussion on it or not by voting on whether or not there's going to be further discussion.
Okay.
Right.
So we're calling for the question, and we're voting on calling for the question.
Correct.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0.
Okay, so now you vote on the underlying.
Okay. Well, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Madam Clerk.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Yes.
Mayor Reese.
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinault.
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli.
Yes.
Passes 5-0.
With the provisions that we made, right?
May I have clarification on that?
Well,
to have Mr. Crescione come in and discuss the matter with staff, but
yes,
the understanding
but
is
forward.
That the contract has been awarded and construction
yes,
will proceed
still
normally.
Still
well,
move forward. Yeah,
he said he's got an idea and
yeah.
stuff, so.
I think it's a good idea.
Thank you for clarification.
Kay.
Passes 5-0.
Okay, that
and,
is.
And also, I would like, with all due respect to Mr. Crescione, I'd like for staff to meet with him right away. Not put it on the back burner. I think we should move forward, but also meet with him immediately.
Tomorrow morning.
Okay. Madam Mayor and Council, we'll be happy to set that up. I'll set that up myself.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that is the last item on our agenda, and so this meeting is hereby adjourned. And we are adjourning. We're going. We have another closed session.
We have
believe
a closed session at 6:30, Madam Mayor.
Do we have to wait till 6:30?
I can try to get a hold of Mr. Cumberland, but that's when the special meeting was noticed. Was 6:30?
Okay.
He may be out here.
Could we convene?